What's up, comic book fans? We here from Comic Books Transformed, where me and my very good friend Brian over there discuss the adaptations from comics into streaming shows and movies. Brian, we're kind of in this weird week where there actually isn't any comic book movie or show on right now, right?
Yeah, you know what? Every the end of the year, I'm like, oh shit, what the hell are we going to cover, you know, for the meeting in the year? But, you know, we always find something. I think last year we got kind of saved by The Last of Us, even though that's a little bit out of our general wheelhouse. It's a little bit of a stretch. There are comics, but there weren't the original form there. But yeah, what we had started this kind of little journey of watching and reviewing the DC animated Tomorrowverse. It's something I always wanted to watch. I think you did too. And we just never had. And we reviewed part one of The Long Halloween in, I think, early December. And we got kind of sidetracked by a whole bunch of things coming out.
Dang.
Yeah. It's been a while. Yeah.
Jeez.
It's February now.
Holy shit.
I think it was like maybe the second week of December, something like that.
Okay.
Wow. So I had wished we were able to do these closer together because there's a lot I didn't remember between watching the two. But I guess that kind of emulates how these movies came out. They came out about 6 months apart, I think. They did not release in the same day. So
Right. Hence
why I had to buy this DVD twice. Yes, I actually bought these on DVD or Blu-ray, whatever.
You know, I'm kind of jealous, though, because I mean, I actually really fucking love this movie. And
yeah, it was fantastic. Yeah, I mean, this is one of the all-time great Batman stories. I think most people will have this in top three or four or at worst five.
Yeah, totally agree. There's one part of it that I kind of don't remember from the comic. I mean, it's been like years and years since I saw the comic.
There are changes between the comics and this adaptation, even from part one that we probably didn't properly address when we reviewed that.
Okay. Well, I hope that you can point out some of them to me. Like, for instance, is one of them was Poison Ivy controlling Bruce for 3 months? In the comic,
and I don't remember that from the book. I don't remember Poison Ivy really being in it, but I guess she was.
Yeah.
She was definitely. It did happen, I think.
Yeah,
but yeah, like it's such a weird thing to start on. It's like, well, how the hell did this happen?
Yeah. And it's weird.
Like, I'm sorry, I'm cutting you off today. It's just there's that scene where like she just like sucks him into the bush on the wall, and I'm like, did they stay there for 3 months?
She sucks him into the bush. No, like, yeah, it's weird, right? Because there's this fantasy. It's almost like the Matrix or something where it's like this other reality. And it's like Bruce with Poison Ivy. And she doesn't really look like Poison Ivy. And it's also Katie Sackhoff is the voice of Poison Ivy. I didn't realize that.
I think she did a fantastic job. She didn't have many lines, but I think she sounded great. It took me a few seconds to realize it was her, but I think it was really good performance for what little it was.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't mean to be nitpicky and stuff, but it's like, you know, she never discovered that Bruce was Batman like in 3 months.
I mean, okay. Yeah. Let's go over that there. So, you know, there's also a scene where Harvey and Commissioner Gordon are standing with the bat signal, like, where the fuck's Batman? And like, nobody realizes that Bruce Wayne's like suddenly giving his stuff away to Carmine Falcone and Batman hasn't been around. Like no one puts that together.
Yeah. I know. Stuff like that. It always kind of bothers me in comics. It's the worst one is like when Superman dies and then they say that Clark Kent died in the rubble or whatever. Then Superman comes back and then Clark Kent comes back and they both have long hair. It's like, okay, come on.
Yeah, they both absolutely have a mullet.
Yeah. That's embarrassing.
You know, this is a question I have for you, too. This is maybe a bit of a tangent here, but that scene with Poison Ivy and Bruce Wayne, like, it took me a minute to realize it was Bruce. I feel like, you know, obviously Batman has a look. Like, it's a costume, you know, the ears. Like, this, but there's not much of many facial features really seen, just other than, like, the strong jaw, sort of.
Sure.
I feel like Bruce Wayne doesn't really have a distinguished look.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like he can look very different depending on who's drawing him compared to like other heroes. Like it's very ambiguous, like the what Bruce Wayne is actually supposed to look like, I think.
Yes, I agree with you there. I think like Peter Parker, for instance, is sort of more distinct looking. Clark Kent is very distinct looking, right?
Yeah.
But as far as Bruce goes, you're right. There are variations, but I do think that, I mean, he's always got the blue eyes and the black hair. His hair is often styled in different ways, but I feel like Bruce, his eyes, like if you look at I'm trying to think of the cartoon that I've seen, like, I mean, in this cartoon, honestly, and then also like in the comics by like Scott Snyder and stuff, his eyes always look like a little intense and scary, you know?
That's true. That's
versus
true.
Clark's, you know?
Yeah.
And you know, there is a, you remember how on like the animated series, it kind of shifted the animation style at one point, like it looked one way and then all of a sudden it started looking a different way. Yeah.
Once they did, once Superman started, they both shifted in like the last season.
Yeah.
When it was New Adventures of Batman and Robin.
Yeah, like Bruce looks significantly different in those two versions.
Yeah.
And I think that version that was like kind of the version that eventually gets old and you see him in Batman Beyond, that's kind of the way that I envision Bruce for the most part.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, he's the prisoner of Poison Ivy for 3 months, and I think that's kind of a way to explain how come the Holiday Killer's not caught sooner. You know, it's like, oh my God, take a whole fucking year to solve this case. But you're saying that is in the comics?
I think it is.
Okay. So then is the Scarecrow scene in the comics where Scarecrow breaks out of Arkham?
I don't remember, actually. Yeah, Scarecrow is in it. Yes, I believe that is in it in some capacity.
Okay, so... you know, and also one other thing too is I actually wrote up a review and I posted it on Amazon because I actually had to pay for this. For some reason, it's not on fucking Max. And then I posted it on Letterboxd too. So if you guys ever want to like see written reviews of mine that are like edited and make sense, you can check me out on Letterboxd. I think I'm AnchorPete29 on there. But I was saying how like the Scarecrow's fucking legitimately scary in this.
Yeah, it definitely was. That was definitely I enjoy that about this.
Kind
of, they kind of, I would kind of say the same thing about the Nolan Scarecrow as well.
Yes.
Legitimately making it scary. It wasn't really scary in you know, the old animated series. Really. I mean, I guess it was a little more, but I was actually a little, I mean, I guess I wasn't scared, but it's darker than I expected it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Scarecrow's interesting on the original animated series, right? Because when you first see him, he's got this kind of round head. He's very, like, thin. And he just kind of looks like a scarecrow that you'd find in a field. Then, before they changed the animation style, they changed the way the scarecrow looks, where he's got that big, like, mouth where his teeth are kind of jutting out and stuff, right? And he's got these eyes. Then, they do a third version of the scarecrow when the animation changes, and he almost looks like a skeleton. Like, he looks like a Grim Reaper.
Yeah,
he's got like a big upper body. Yeah, I think he even has a different voice. I think that Jeffrey Combs is the voice when they make the change.
Oh, really? I don't think I realized that. I'll look that up.
Yeah, have you ever seen him in that third version?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah, he still has the slimmer lower body, but yeah, it's almost like a triangle, upside down triangle. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So I mean, I just like that sequence in this movie. I thought it was like a horror movie. You know, we revisit the parents getting murdered scene, and it's kind of cool because there's a family walking down the alley, which is very similar to the 1989 Batman, where it's like a family doing the same exact thing. And then, but then Bruce is, you know, under the effects of the fear toxin. Do you think, because Catwoman saves him then, do you think that in this movie, Catwoman kind of is there too often to save people at the last minute?
Yeah, she does. She does pop in unexpectedly rather often at the last second. She saves Harvey. She saves Bruce. And they kind of don't really. I don't remember if they kind of gave you the reason why she's so involved in the first part. I mean, obviously here we know that she's trying to determine if Carmen Falcone is her father.
Yes,
but I feel like they don't. I don't think they told you that in the first part.
No, not at all. I don't think they do. No.
So, and you're kind of wondering like, wow, she's, I mean, she's better than Batman in this movie in terms of fighting ability, really, here, and success rate.
Yes. It's too much. There's too many times where, like, someone's got a gun to someone's head, and right when they are about to pull the trigger, she, like, leaps up and gets someone, you know? It happens, like, 4 times in this movie.
Yeah.
What's your favorite version of Catwoman in any adaptation?
Oh man, I mean this one's probably up there, honestly.
Yeah, she's pretty great.
I like Catwoman as a hero. Honestly, like kind of more like a, or I don't want to say anti-hero, but I prefer when she's a little more on the side of good, honestly.
Really?
So, yeah.
Okay, so then, like, the Michelle Pfeiffer Catwoman is not your bag as much as, like, this Catwoman.
Yeah, I would say that, yes.
Yeah. In that one, we actually kind of differ, because I kind of like it when Catwoman's more bad and it's, like, a problem for Batman that he likes her. You know, when she's just basically, like, another one of the family, just basically saving people and stuff, I don't like that. I like it when it's more, like, it's a problem for him to like her.
Yes, I do like that aspect a lot. I think that still kind of applies here, but I don't like a crazy Catwoman, I guess.
No.
That's kind of like Michelle Pfeiffer. That's kind of what I envision Michelle Pfeiffer's version to be like.
Yeah, you're right.
I definitely like that kind of question. I mean, I think that Catwoman is the best match for Batman, you know, like
a
relationship sense.
Yeah.
And that duality of her being a criminal and him kind of being tested in that, I do enjoy.
Yeah, really good point. You bring up this point about her being crazy in Batman Returns, which is kind of true. Like, she does lose her mind because she's pushed out of a fucking window and falls on the ground and is bit by a bunch of cats. Right? It's so fucking weird. Even, like, as, like, a 10-year-old kid, I was like, this is weird. But yeah. I was going to say that is in stark contrast to sort of the regular Catwoman origin that we know, which is that, like, she was raised on the streets, she's an orphan, like, the street life is horrible for her, and then, you know, usually she finds out that she's, spoilers, Carmine Falcone's daughter, illegitimate daughter, you know? And, I mean, that's a big, big deal in the Batman movie, you know? The one with Robert Pattinson and Zoe Kravitz, you know?
Yeah, I think, as we said, this is the story that every Batman movie pulls from.
Yeah, right. So, do you like this version of Catwoman or the Batman version of Catwoman better?
Ooh, maybe the Batman. Because I think she's that line between villain and hero is a little more blurred there. I think that's a little more in line. Like, I like when Batman and Catwoman team up. I like when they kind of have that partnership, sort of, and then Batman has that, like you said, Batman has that question of, like, can I do this? I think it works a little better there, but I do like this version as well.
Yeah.
I like the Anne Hathaway version a lot too, to be perfectly honest.
Shit, yeah. I think that in this version, she is the most cat-like. Like, they literally draw her kind of having, like, cat expressions and stuff at some point. Yeah. I remember seeing it at one point. I was like, whoa, her face looks like a cat when she does this one thing. And, you know, what's the actress's name that played her in this? I'm sorry.
Naya Rivera.
You know, it's a real shame that she passed away, because I think she's really great in this. She's got that kind of that thing down where it's like, she's come from this horrible life, and she's kind of an innocent person who's been thrust in this horrible life. And so you feel bad for her. And she really nails that. I think, like, the Zoe Kravitz version, she's, like, the least cat-like out of all the Catwomen, right? I mean, she's got the Falcone vengeance thing down, like, pat. Like, boom, she's got that, the wanting to get answers from Falcone. But she's, like, the least cat-like out of all of them, I think. She's damn sexy, but yeah.
I agree with that. I think that's probably because that movie's trying to take a more realistic approach.
Yeah. And she's not, like, giving herself a bath. Like,
yeah, she's not drinking milk constantly. And yeah, exactly. And I also don't think, I mean, in a sequel, potentially, I think she may end up being more Catwoman like with the costume. Possibly.
Yeah, yeah. When is that supposed to come out, by the way?
No idea. I have absolutely no idea. I remember hearing about the they were gonna make the a Penguin show, but I have no idea what the status of any of that is since the James Gunn switch. I mean, we know that there will be another one, but all we've heard about really is the new Superman, I guess, and Creature Commandos. So
yeah, and we saw the casting for Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow.
Oh yes, yes, that's right.
Yeah. But anyway, that Penguin show I think is like coming out in like fucking the summer, the latest, I think.
Okay.
They're already like filming and shit. Yeah, yeah. Okay, so let's see. Back to this though. So, you know, in the Batman, I think that Robert Pattinson does a great job. In this movie, in part one, we had a criticism of Jensen Ackles where we felt like he didn't transition between the Bruce voice and the Batman voice. I think in this he does that.
Yes, he does. He does do it. I still think it's maybe not enough. I guess I'm spoiled by the animated series.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I always loved how kind of bright and happy Kevin Conroy's Bruce sounded and how, you know, dark and brooding his Batman sound. I like the difference there. I think it helped. It aided the hiding Bruce Wayne as Batman, you know.
Absolutely.
And I think when the lines blur in it, it's just like how the fuck can you not figure this out?
Yeah, yeah. I understand, yeah. There was controversy over Kevin Conroy recently, right? Like, first off, like, it seems like people that weren't really fans started to say, like, negative things about him just because they found out he was gay, right? Isn't that some stupid fucking thing going on?
I have never heard anyone say anything bad about Kevin Conroy.
I saw someone fucking tweeted that he was a groomer, and I'm like, fuck you.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I think it's just basically because... Grayson. Oh, my God. Jesus.
I'm sorry.
No, 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 it's okay. There's only five people that watch this, and they all appreciated that, so that's good.
No, that's I've actually never heard anyone say anything like that about him. The only controversy I've heard lately is a lot of people are not happy about the Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League game.
That was the other thing,
which it was thought to be Kevin Conroy's last performance, and. I didn't even realize what the fuck I was watching, but I had What Happens to Batman spoiled in that, and people were not happy about that. But in the sense that it's a bad performance by Kevin Conroy, but like that's how Kevin Conroy's Batman goes out. Like that's the last thing you see. But apparently it's not. He is going to appear in some capacity in one of these Tomorrowverse parts of Infinite Crisis apparently.
Okay, that's good. That's really good, actually.
Yeah.
That's something to look forward to. Dude, you could totally spoil for me, and then anyone who, you know, doesn't want to be spoiled, like, jump ahead 5 minutes, 18:24 now, jump ahead to 23 minutes. Can you tell me what happens to Batman in the game?
Yeah, I mean, the name of the game is Suicide Squad Kills the Justice League, and apparently that really happens. So... I basically saw the scene where Harley kills Batman, and essentially it's just him defeated sitting on a bench, and Harley kind of gives a little speech and just shoots him in the head.
Wow.
Okay,
so, I gotta look that up on YouTube.
Yeah, you can definitely find it in 5 seconds. And I heard it's actually pretty cool in that game that before you face Batman in the game, you just see him in the background, like watching you, which sounds awesome.
Shit, yeah. Isn't that game in the continuity of the Arkham games?
It is, yes.
So that fucking hero Batman from the Arkham games just gets shot by Harley Quinn after she gives him a speech. Wow.
Well, I mean, there must be some boss battle before that because he's all like beat up and shit. So I didn't see that part. But all I saw was just like they find him, he's on a bench, he's all bruised and beaten up.
Yeah.
And, you know, he clearly can't fight back anymore. And then, Harley says something about like, oh, you never expected it to be me, huh? And then kind of just, that's it.
So, I mean, that's kind of bold to like make it like the Suicide Squad kills the Justice League too. You know?
It's they are taken over and are evil in some capacity. It's not just like they're the good guys, and like I don't think they would be able to sell it where it's like, you know, you're literally just the bad guys and you are killing the heroes. Like they narratively, it's in a way that's like, yes, this is bad, but it has to be done because something irreversible has made them evil.
Yeah. It's like Brainiac or something, right?
Maybe, I don't remember, but they make it very clear that they cannot be fixed back, and the only answer is to kill them. The only way to stop them. So I think that's the only way you can get away with selling a game where you play as a villain killing these, you know, famous heroes.
Yeah, these icons, right? Yeah. Holy shit. Okay. Well, I gotta watch that clip. I'm gonna do that as soon as we stop recording. But anyway, let's go back to this movie. So we're talking about Kevin Conroy and we're talking about Jensen Ackles. Jensen Ackles, I think, has this really great moment where Gordon and Harvey come to Wayne Manor because they're suspecting him as being the holiday killer. And Bruce has to basically explain what happened to Carmine Falcone to kind of tie him to Thomas Wayne. And I really like that scene a lot. I was going to say that Jensen Ackles is really good as Bruce, but I think that Josh Duhamel is even better as Harvey in this.
Yeah, I agree. And especially once you see the Two-Face personality come out, he did a really great job.
Yeah. Two-Face is hard to do because Two-Face is sort of like the Christian Bale Batman voice, but like on, you know, steroids.
Yeah.
Where it's like just like all gravelly and
just gargling rocks.
Yeah. But I think he does a really fucking good job.
Yeah.
Consider that Josh Duhamel is always kind of this like smooth, cool guy. Now he's playing this fucking lunatic.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
What do you think of that scene between Grundy and Two-Face?
It was good. I mean, it's, you know, he kind of finds a kindred spirit in a way, and then kind of caps off his whole plan to just overthrow, get all the villains together, the kind of costume villains, and overthrow the Falcone family.
Yeah. You know, there's different versions of Two-Face. Like there's this stupid fucking Tommy Lee Jones version of Two-Face where it's basically just trying to be Jack Nicholson's Joker again, right? And it's like, oh, I got two of things. Then, you know, I love the fucking animated series Two-Face. What about you?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely fantastic. And I was almost going to say that the first time I saw Two-Face was probably the Batman Forever, but it wasn't. It was the animated series.
Yes.
But it's very different. Very different takes. Yeah.
Yeah. And the animated series Batman, I remember that like his origin was a two-parter, and like his appearance just like showing up is like the cliffhanger of like, look at his face. It's his wife discovers him and his face is all fucked up. See, that's the thing, right? I'm so used to that version of Two-Face. That's the first version I saw. They played up that Harvey and Bruce were friends for like a long time before he became Two-Face. I always liked that aspect. What about you?
I agree. I think it gives a lot more depth to the change in the relationship and the kind of like, you know, the rhetorical question at the end, like, you know, did the good guys win and was it worth it, sort of thing. And you know, that's something that the animated series couldn't do as well because they had to fit it into a short 20-minute episodes.
Right. Yeah. I mean, like, I already had a little banner saying like the similarities between the Batman and this, but like the Dark Knight has a lot of this. I mean, this part in particular is like very similar to the Dark Knight.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, even the way that Harvey becomes Two-Face, I think I actually like better in this than the Dark Knight. And I really like the way he becomes Two-Face in the Dark Knight too.
Yeah. God, how did he become, what was it? It was Joe. Oh, yeah. He was. Who did they have tied up? They had two people tied up in different places, right?
So his girlfriend was Rachel.
That's Rachel.
Right? So Rachel's in one location, Harvey's in another location, in the Dark Knight. And Joker says both their locations, but Joker flips it for Batman. Yeah. And so Batman thinks he's going to get Rachel, but he's actually going to get Harvey. And Rachel just gets blown up. Harvey's able to knock himself over, but he gets gasoline on the side of his face.
Yeah.
And then there's the explosion. And they save him from the explosion, but then the fire gets his face.
Yeah, I actually like it better in this here where it's not Joker doing it.
Oh yeah, of course. Ditto.
Yeah, where it's caused by what he's trying to take down. I like that a lot better.
Yes. Well, so there's something in this that I really like, and I don't think I go into my review saying this too much, but I like Harvey when like Two-Face is actually like a personality inside of him, kind of like the Hulk and Banner. Where it's like it's another person in him and it starts to like talk to him and shit. And they do that in here. And they have a couple of great shots where like you see Harvey's eye and it has one kind of emotion. And then you see Two-Face's eye and it's just this big fucking wide eye with a little tiny pupil. And yeah. I love that. And the implication here is that Two-Face is a personality that's actually taken over Harvey prior to this and done things too.
Yeah, yes. So... the entire movie, you see the origin of Two-Face. You know, it's kind of the contrast between his desire to, you know, clean up Gotham, but, you know, also kind of turning a blind eye, cutting some corners to try to get it done. And then how that grows and festers within him to come to a head in this court scene, really, where, you know, Maroni's just like gaslighting him. Really. It's insane. And then Two-Face is just like, coming out, and it's really great scene. Probably my favorite in the movie, honestly.
Yes. Yeah, because like this guy, you know what? It's set up really well too, because you have the sequence where this guy's meet with his father, Maroni's meet with his father, and they're able to establish really quickly in that scene that like this guy loves his father very much. His father's murdered by Holiday. It's pretty brutal. And then he also has this secret thing going on with Carmine Falcone's gigantic daughter, right? Yeah. So as an audience member, you legitimately think that he is going to turn in Falcone.
Yeah.
But then he twists it and he's like, oh, he's the best guy I know. He's a saint. And yeah. And it's like, you know, you feel for Harvey because he's totally been set up.
Yep.
Then he like they even set up the acid bottle because he's kind of like, oh, you got some indigestion or something. I got this medicine right here, you know. And and then he fucking throws it in his face and he's like, that goes through concrete. Remember that?
Yeah,
it's fucking great. So, but what about that sequence with Harvey and Grundy?
Didn't we talk about it? I mean,
okay. I guess not in depth.
I'm sorry. You're talking about
Sewer.
In the sewer. Yeah, that's what I was talking about before. I thought you were referring to when they do the attack. Is it Maroni? No, whoever they attack in the police van.
I think it is Maroni.
It is Maroni. Yeah.
Yeah.
And confused sometimes.
Because okay, so that's an interesting sequence too. Because he gets Maroni out of the van, and then I think he's got his gun to him, and he's got a like Holiday's gun too. It's got like a pacifier on it. It's got that weird handle, but then Holiday is the one that shoots Maroni.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So we should talk about the whole Holiday, Maroni, Falcone kind of thing too. In this movie, I was going to say to you, don't you kind of feel like this movie is really Carmine Falcone's movie?
Yeah, I mean, he almost seems more of a central character than Batman.
Thank you. I was wanting to say that. Yeah. Well, why?
Because it's all about him and his choices and his, grip on Gotham and how far back it goes and, you know, with the ties to the Waynes and all that. And then ultimately, yeah, it's about getting revenge for the choices Carmine Falcone has made. I mean, they added something here to the ending that was not in the comic, which I don't know how we really want to get into that now. But yeah, it's about him and his actions and dealing with him. So, And he gets a lot more dialogue than I expected.
Right, right. And the guy that plays Bosch, what's his name? Like, the guy's Falcone in this.
Titus Welliver.
Oh, you're awesome. Titus Welliver. Yeah, I remember, it kind of sounds like a Roman emperor or something. He's really fucking good in this too.
Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah. He has this great pun at one point where he's like, the machine of justice that was coming against or coming after us has got a dent in it. He says something like that.
Yeah.
I fucking love that.
Oh, that was great. Yeah.
But no, I mean, it's this crazy thing. It's almost like The Sopranos or The Godfather, where it's like we're seeing this whole mafia family. We see his sister. His sister gets killed by Holiday in this movie. His son's already dead because of Holiday in the last movie.
Oh, yes, that's right. Carla Vita gets killed, yes.
In the elevator.
Yeah.
And when he's all victorious, she shows up dead. Then he's got this gigantic daughter. And I don't know, I probably shouldn't even edit this into the show, but, you know, we're men. For some reason, like, his gigantic daughter kind of turns me on.
Sophia?
Yeah, yeah. Maybe it's like a giant thing, and, you know, I'm really tall, and I don't know, tall women excite me. Or maybe it's like... it's kind of got that vibe from Resident Evil.
Lady Dimitrescu, whatever the hell you say. Yeah.
Yeah. Totally. And I legitimately, you know, spoilers, I feel sorry when she dies at the end of this movie.
The comic follow up, Dark Victory. She's not dead. This happens, and she's not dead. So,
doesn't she have like a head brace on and everything?
Yep. She's essentially the spoiler alert. She's the kind of villain in the follow up story to this Dark Victory.
Oh man, I totally forgot about Dark Victory, but it was really good too.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't as good as this, but I mean, yeah. It's interesting, and you gotta get the whole Dick Grayson involvement here, and you know, Batman and Robin. So,
oh yeah, yeah, everything's better with Dick, that's for sure. But like, so, so let's talk about that end scene then, right? So the Rogues basically are freed from Arkham by Two-Face. I like when Two-Face shows up.
Except
Calendar Man, right? Right. For some reason, he picked Tails with the coin. Yeah.
Well, right. That's all. That also plays into Dark Victory as well. Harvey does that intentionally because he's kind of partially jealous about the Holiday Killer kind of stealing his gimmick. And doing it better than he ever could. So that plays into Dark Victory as well.
Oh, now you're making me kind of want to go read that.
Yeah, I want to go reread them both. I wish I could have read it between. You're watching part one and two, but I didn't have the time.
I understand too. So when the Rogues attack, I just wanted to bring this up. The Joker, I think the Joker has like one line in the whole fucking movie, because most of the time he's just not talking. He's just attacking people and Batman. But he has this one fucking line that's so great. He's like in the middle of a fight with Batman, and like Batman punches him into a desk, and he like picks up the phone on the desk, right? He's like, Donna, tell him I gotta terminate somebody or something like
that. Hold my calls.
Right, right, right. That's my Joker. That's my favorite kind of Joker that does that shit.
I agree.
Yeah. I agree. And all the movie versions except for the fucking Jared Leto version. And I guess except for the one that's in the Batman. And I guess except for the fucking...
There's a lot of exceptions here. Maybe.
Yeah. I was just thinking about how there's all these different fucking Jokers that you don't even think about. You always used to just think Jack Nicholson and Heath Ledger.
And Mark Hamill. Now, like,
there's fucking...
And Mark Hamill.
Okay. I was talking about live action, though.
Okay, sure.
But like, then there's fucking Morbius, and then there's fucking... the fucking...
The one from Gotham, too.
Joaquin Phoenix. Oh, yeah, I didn't even think of that one. Yeah, yeah. But anyway, like, they kind of sometimes play up the psycho mastermind more than they play up like he's actually funny.
Yeah, I agree.
And I like that he's funny.
Yeah, I like when he's funny too. Yeah, this I really like this version of Joker. Not as big as a role as in the first part, but yeah, I was glad to see him. And that line really did sell his brief appearance.
right. And so Catwoman and Batman are able to stop the Rogues, and then of course Not in time, though, to save Falcone, who then Two-Face kills Falcone.
Yes, and this is believed, well, so in the comics, it's believed that this was the first and only time that Harvey kills someone. So this was always an ambiguous thing to me and confusing. Was, I had to look this up the second I read the comic. I'm like, who actually was the Holiday Killer? What the fuck actually happened here?
So, yes.
The way I reconciled it in the comic was that there are technically three. So it's Alberto, it's Gilda are the main, and then Harvey sort of on a technicality when he kills Carmine on a holiday, which I don't remember what holiday this is. Is it Halloween? Yeah, it is Halloween.
It's full circle.
So that's why he's technically part of it. But otherwise, it's Alberto and Gilda who have different reasons for wanting to hurt Carmine Falcone and all these mob characters.
Okay, but in the comic, are Alberto and Gilda working together? Or is it just like a copycat thing?
This is kind of weird. It's just kind of a coincidence, I guess. And okay. It's weird. It's like they weren't working together. They were doing the same thing. And they just happened to not do anything on the same holiday. It just happened to time out, work out like that.
Wow. Okay.
So in the movie here, in the end of the movie here, we see Batman finally figures it out and confronts Gilda about it as she's burning all this evidence in the furnace in her basement.
Yes.
It's here they reveal that she was once in a relationship with Alberto Falcone. Carmen didn't approve, and you know she was pregnant, so she had them break up, and she had made her have an abortion. Apparently,
yes, and it sounds horrible.
Not from the comic. That relationship aspect was not from the comic.
Uh-huh. Gilda's
involvement was purely to just get Harvey back, just to make these things go faster, so Harvey had less things to work on, and so they can have their life.
Okay.
So, and that's also a part of her motive here, too, because she says she does actually love Harvey.
I really like that touch when she says that. Absolutely. But
the last thing I was going to say is in the comic, you know, Alberto's death was faked. And here he doesn't show up here. I don't remember if he shows up again in this, or maybe he's, I know he's in Dark Victory, but I don't know if he's actually dead or not. I have no idea if he's dead or not in this.
Yeah, I think they're playing off like he's legitimately dead. And I think that the motivation for her to kill him would be that maybe he was even complicit in that abortion, right?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe that could be it, yeah.
So let me ask you this. As someone that's read the comic and the example you were just telling me, or like her motivation in the comic, and then this, is there a version that you like better?
The original is going to take the cake here. I think I really do like the adaptation here. It's pretty faithful. I don't mind the changes, and all that. But you really just have to give it to the original, and just kind of the mystery of and the tone it kind of has.
Yeah.
How important it is to the Batman character, and then the character change that kind of that he has in the 80s with Frank Miller's stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or maybe Neil Adams stuff. Maybe that's more appropriate.
Well, I don't mean like in general, do you like the comic better than this? I mean, this part, Gilda's part.
Oh, Gilda's part. I believe in her motive. I understand it. I like the twist of it. I'm okay with it.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, right? Because it's kind of like the inverse of, not Final Crisis. What the fuck is the Identity Crisis? Do you remember that one where it's like there's a murder? Well, actually, it's not the inverse. That's stupid of me to say. Like, spoilers for Identity Crisis, which is like a comic book event from like at least 20 years ago. But basically, one of the wives of one of the superheroes murders another wife of one of the superheroes because she was basically just gonna like kidnap her just to make all the superheroes get closer to their spouses, like to not take their spouses for granted, and it kind of goes wrong, right? In the comic book version, you're making it kind of sound like Gilda wants to get rid of the whole Falcone problem so that Harvey can be with her and not be like obsessed with it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
I think I might like this motivation better, to where she had a connection to Alberto and then there's this horrible abortion. It kind of reminds me more of like a Mario Puzo type mafia saga where like they do something horrible to like an innocent woman and then she gets her revenge on them.
Yeah. Yes. It's just weird to me because, I mean, I guess there's the one scene where you, I guess, I don't remember what holiday it was, but they're Commissioner Gordon and Harvey are standing there and then Falcone comes walking by like on the boardwalk or whatever. And then yeah. She's in, and he specifically says hello to Gilda and not Harvey.
Yeah.
And I guess maybe that's where that implication started there. But, I don't know. It's weird that they kind of let her be afterwards, you know, like it almost seems like they should have just killed her initially and not allowed her to even have a revenge plot, you know?
Yes, yes, yes. That is a very, very good point. Right. Cause like they give her this horrible abortion, which like she could use, I think, in court probably or something. But they just like let her keep going. That's a very good point.
I mean, I think it also adds to the joint motive. And you know what? Maybe the relationship is added to show that they were working together, because they were not working together in the comic. It was a coincidence. And maybe they added that to show that, you know, they were both taking revenge and they were, you know, planning it together in some fashion.
Yeah. Yeah. They just simultaneously happen to be becoming themed criminals, like themed murders. Yeah, just simultaneously, coincidentally. That's kind of crazy.
Well, I think the implication in the comic version is that one is a copycat of the other.
Okay.
So Gilda is the original, then Alberto takes it over, and then Gilda kind of stops.
Okay. Sort of. Okay. I actually kind of like that. I like that. I like the idea of him being the copycat of her. I like that.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so speaking of which, there's two things I want to say about Gilda real quick. She's really great in this. The actress that plays Gilda does a really great job in this. Her role is different in this than the first movie. I mean, obviously, especially at the end. There's this really great sequence where Harvey's going to go to work, and she's trying to, like, kind of reach out to him, and he's basically saying, like, I have to go to work. He gives her the cold shoulder, and then the door closes, and the door has these, like, lines in the glass in the window, and it looks like prison bars, and it looks like she's a prisoner in her house. I really like that. But it leads me though to a question, because we're talking about how this all gets wrapped up. Do you feel like Bruce in the comics would say to her, okay, you're not going to do this anymore, right? And then leave? Do you feel like Bruce in the comics would do that?
Actually, yes.
Really?
I do. I think he realizes, you know, Harvey, he says it, Harvey is my friend, or was my friend. And he kind of sees the pain in there and in Gilda. And, you know, I always think back to kind of Killing Joke at the end of it, where, you know, you question if Batman laughs or not. At a joke.
Yes.
And what happens after that?
Right. Does he strangle Joker? Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And I think that kind of plays into that somehow. It's like, I do believe it, that he would do that.
Okay. I feel like comic Bruce would be like, you committed a crime, you're going to jail. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like he wouldn't let a criminal, a murderer, go.
This is kind of that same thing as you know, dating Catwoman, really. You know, it's like, should I do this? I don't know. I do believe it.
Oh man, if you're a woman, Bruce is easy on you.
Yeah.
And see where it gets him? You get fucking shot by Harley Quinn in the Suicide Squad game. well, let's talk about Bruce's fate and the end of this movie then. The end and the post-credit scene. Did you know there was a post-credit scene?
I didn't actually. I remember I watched something else after I finished it, just to kind of get a explanation and some differences between the comics because I don't remember things that well.
Yeah.
You know, our theme.
Yes.
And then there's like, oh, and then the post-credit scene. I'm like, oh, shit, I didn't see that.
Yeah.
Of course, they have to tie it into the larger Tomorrowverse setup here.
Right.
This really was a standalone story otherwise, you know?
Yeah. So the ending is, I think it's actually a pretty happy ending for Batman. And I really like it because it, you know, many, many times in superhero movies, regardless if they're animated or live action, like the last shot is usually like the hero jumping at the camera or like they're jumping into action. This is like just Bruce in a fucking bathrobe, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, Bruce and Catwoman in bathrobes and, you know, Alfred giving out Halloween candy.
Yeah.
And I think the implication too, you know, with the thoughts of setting this up as, you know, for Dark Victory, which I'm assuming they're not going to make this continuation. But, yeah. You know, I think the implication that maybe that little kid was Dick Grayson, you know?
Oh, that's cute. I would love that. Yeah. And his parents are going to die. His parents
pretty soon.
Yes. No, it actually kind of reminded me of Batman Forever, because I think that's the only time I've seen people trick-or-treating at Wayne Manor.
I don't even remember that happening, so.
Perfect. That's within our theme. No, there's this whole sequence where the Michael Gow, Alfred, is giving out candy to trick-or-treaters, and the doorbell rings, he looks through the peephole, and it's little kids, he gives them candy, the doorbell rings again, and it's Two-Face and Riddler with masks on. Do you remember that? And then, like, Riddler hits him with his cane.
Yeah, that sounds familiar, yeah.
And he goes, trick, like that, right? All right, anyway, who gives a fuck about that? In this, it's got this, like, sweet little moment where they're talking about the future of Gotham. You know, is there going to be hope? And then the kid showing up for the holiday candy is that sign of hope because they come all the way out to Wayne Manor. Then we have this post-credit scene, which you want to tell everybody what that is?
Yeah, it's very similar to what you just described. So you have the kids trick-or-treating, but instead of Two-Face and Riddler showing up, you have flashing Green Arrow.
Yeah, he's green.
They don't say anything. They couldn't get Matt Bomer that week for to say one line. So
right.
And they just kind of wave at him, and that's it. And Alfred says, "Oh, Master, it's for Master Wayne. It's for you."
Right. Yeah. They don't even say anything. Right. They just kind of go like, like that. Right.
Wave at him.
Well, that's good. It's funny because for whatever reason, I went right from Justice Society World War II to the Legion movie. I didn't think for whatever reason, and I skipped this one. But now it kind of makes more sense because Batman is in the beginning of that Legion movie.
Okay, that probably does make sense. So the implication here is that they're essentially asking him to join the Justice League.
Yeah. Yeah, man. So what'd you think overall?
I think it was great. It's one of the best Batman stories, as we kind of prefaced this. I was excited to see it adapted. This is why I actually bought it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't buy physical media that much anymore when it comes to the movies.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think they did a really great job. I think the performances were pretty great.
Yeah.
Like we said, you know, especially Josh Duhamel and Titus Welliver were really good. You know, I mean, Catwoman was great. Gilda was great. Jensen Ackles was great. Everybody was pretty much great.
Yeah. Gordon's great, even though his role is kind of diminished in this one.
Yeah, I would say that. Yeah.
Yeah. What's the actor's name? Billy.
Gordon is Billy Burke.
Billy Burke. There we go. Yeah, not Billy Butcher. That's something else. But I was gonna say, okay, so if we count Long Halloween Part 1 and 2 as one movie, then we have Superman, Man of Tomorrow. We have Justice Society, World War II, Batman, The Long Halloween. So far, three of these bad boys, Tomorrowverse bad boys. How would you rank them? And then that's it for today.
Number one would this be this movie, these two movies.
Fuck,
hands down. Followed by Man of Tomorrow, followed by Justice Society, World War II.
Okay, we got the same exact lineup. Surprise! So, Brian, I think that, like, besides... I mean, the only thing that we have coming up then is another Tomorrowverse movie, right? Because there's nothing up the next week.
Yeah, there's something coming out soon. One of the, I just got reminded about Umbrella Academy season four. They're starting to release some images from the from that, so I'm gonna expect that in the next couple months. We will have Invincible in about a month,
Man.
but that's only a couple episodes. It's only like four or five, I think. So that won't take too long. And then oh, we have some movies to watch. Madam Web. I think that's next week.
Your facial reaction was awesome for that. You're like, oh, Madam Web. Did you by any chance see the Red Letter Media thing where they did the Nerd Crew and they were talking about Madam Web?
No, I don't think so.
Have you ever seen them do the Nerd Crew before?
Maybe.
Okay. I'll send you the link. I think you'll get a chuckle out of it.
I'll watch it.
Okay, cool. Also, with the Super Bowl, right? The Super Bowl is what, next Sunday or is it
Next week,
Tuesday?
yeah, next week.
Okay. So, do you have any idea what trailers we're going to see for that?
I'm hoping we get a Deadpool trailer.
Yeah, man.
I mean,
That's what I was
there's so
thinking.
much talk about them being done with filming.
Yeah.
That makes the most sense because what else is coming out?
Right. Okay, I'm excited about that. They wouldn't do Superman, the James Gunn one, right? It's too
No way.
early,
There's
right?
no way they even started filming that yet.
They haven't started filming?
I don't think so.
Okay. That's fine. All right, so then yeah, just probably Deadpool, but that'll be a big deal.
Yeah, I think so.
Cool, man. All right, well, this has been a pleasure. It looks like next week we'll be back then for Legion of Superheroes, which.
No. Next is Green Lantern, actually.
What the fuck? I just got this order so fucked up.
Yeah,
All right.
Green Lantern came out on July 25th,
Yeah.
2022, and Legion of Superheroes was February 7th of last year, which is my
Okay.
anniversary.
Nice, man. Yes. All right, so beware my power.
Beware My Power, and I believe there's a short of wait, is it the Adam Strange short or is it the Catman D one? There's a short that goes with this somewhere, but hopefully it's on HBO Max. We can incorporate that too.
Nice, man. All right. Well, regardless of what's there, Brian and I will be back for some more Tomorrowverse next week. Let us know what you guys thought of Batman: The Long Halloween Part 2, and we will see you guys real soon.